It's going to be a good show tonight. Yeah, and it's quite exciting. A nice slice surprise.
A nice slice of surprise.
Slice of surprise.
That was bad, wasn't it? That was bad.
That was really bad. On today's show, we hope the gems of the new season aren't hidden. Did the shadow shine? And we reopen the dungeon. Welcome back to the Incense Podcast, episode 121. I'm Ian Waterfall, and with me, as always, Cooper and Whitfield. No Barrow tonight. Boys, how you doing? Happy Pride Month.
He's stuck in his shed.
Mr. Wheelbarrow stuck in his shed.
Mr. Wheelbarrow still demolishing his shed.
But yes, indeed, mate. Happy Pride Month. Yeah.
Happy Pride Month. And it's lovely, I guess, trio show once again. We had a little bit of this a couple of weeks ago.
We've got it again next week.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Yes.
That's so true.
It's my fault next week, I'll be honest.
New season dropped literally a couple of hours ago as we're recording. We'll get into it later, but initial thoughts, excited?
I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of juicy stuff which we're going to get into in the show.
And I know Creeps has salivated over that PvP update that came out.
Looking forward to getting back into the dungeon, to be honest. Yeah, get an old friend out as well.
Out of context.
Is he still tied up down there?
Yeah. I'm letting an old friend out. What?
He's been tied up there, mate, with that schedule to post a video every day, same time.
Great stuff. But anyway, let's move on from that. And audience, you know what time it is. It's time to
pop your incenses, champions. Let's go.
Sorry, okay, audience, who are you?
It might just be one person, but they're still an audience.
Yeah, true.
Noise.
Don't forget, if you get something that you want to share with us, post it on socials along with the hashtag Shinies of the Week.
Clarify the spelling, please.
And that spelling is Shinies of the Week. And who knows, you might get a mention on next week's show in everyone's favourite section. Let's talk about something that has nothing to do with Pokemon Go, shall we?
So no Pokemon Go goodness.
Do I ever introduce Pokemon Go goodness?
Oh, Ian.
But you do this section when you can't be bothered to think of a question.
Just tell me about you, mate. Just what's going on?
You're kind of half right, Chris. I just didn't want to talk about snakes or things that nearly killed us. So I thought I'd do something a little different. So we'll do a round of Would You Rather.
And to be fair, I actually rate you for this because this is going to get us out of the loop, you know, of all the snakes.
I'll say to Milo before the recording, it's getting into a kind of a tedious loop of us talking about snakes, yes. Australia.
It's been 3 or 4 weeks.
Near-death experiences. I'm actually going to throw you both under the bus. So I sent the show notes out on Monday lunchtime, early afternoon. And I said, right, we're going to do a round of Would You Rather for this week's Get to Know You.
Nice.
Please have 2 Would You Rathers ready. Now, boys, how many did you both get ready for me?
I got 5 ready.
Okay. Right, go first, Coops.
No, go on. Ladies first.
Ladies first.
Okay, then.
Yes. bottom line is, neither of you read the show notes and neither of you prepped the getting to know
you. No, I just didn't read the bit that said...
What, the bit that's in bold
would
and in
you rather?
Red.
Look, I need to look at the more important stuff because this is a blizzard of colour. A kaleidoscope has got nothing on these show notes, okay?
Everybody's colour matches the edit colour.
Indeed.
It is weird, though, because I'm like, Milo, I genuinely read them because I knew what was coming to it, but for some reason I just didn't... We must have literally missed the same part, bro.
I just pocketed out the would you rather. Oh, that's fine.
No, I love it when it's not our show and it says, but when it says we've got to do something, we're like, nah, enough of that.
Let's get this going here. What
okay,
have you got in store
so,
for us?
So, since nobody prepped, I have got 6 would you rathers and they're fairly tame, you know, family friendly and all that nowadays. So, boys, would you rather give up your phone or only wear Crocs for the rest of your life?
Can I modify the Crocs in any way?
Well, you can put the little gems in them, but you can't do anything.
Including putting them in plastic bags.
No. You need to be one of those people like there was 15 years ago, just walk around in Crocs.
Have a guess, Ian, what I would pick.
You'd rather wear Crocs, wouldn't you? You couldn't give up your phone.
Absolutely. Because then we wouldn't be able to talk about Pokemon Go, really.
Oh, here he goes.
The Crocs, they're out of shot. I just won't be doing any of those walking from a distance shots that you do, Ian. So, yeah, I'll happily wear Crocs and surrender my credibility for the rest of my life.
So, as you know, I recently went on holiday, right? And obviously, phone was in the safe. Genuinely did not go on my phone at all. Hence why I didn't see your message
you
about catching
Crocs
the
well?
Regional. No, I wasn't. But I absolutely loved not being on my phone. My screen time is down like 40, 50%. Felt amazing. And I actually think Crocs are very comfortable. So I'm going to pick the Crocs one.
And I'm actually, as much as it pains me, I'm going to agree. Yeah. Actually,
being on your phone kind of sucks. Like low key, it actually.
Yeah, I mean,
sucks.
To be
like,
fair, I love my phone. I really do live on my phone, but it is kind of that addiction cycle of it's always in your hand. It's kind of like a pacifier in that way that you just need it. So the majority of the things that you do on your phone, other than play Pokemon Go, you can actually get from a computer. So I actually, it would be quite a nice relief not to have a mobile phone, not to take calls 24/7 a day, not to get all messages.
Coops can't send you a voice note.
But Coops called me today. He didn't voice message me. He actually called me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I did.
I'd give up my phone, actually. Okay. Would you rather clog the toilet on a first date or on your first day at a new job?
Ooh.
Ooh. I'm guessing we're clarifying the first date is at their house. Because if it's in a restaurant.
Obviously at their house,
Okay.
If it's a restaurant, you just run.
Bro, okay, so here's the thing, yeah. If the person you're on a date with is like really down to earth and got a great sense of humor, that could be a really like funny first date story.
You've clogged
right?
her toilet and it's overflowing on the floor and it's...
Oh, it's a complete disaster.
At work.
100% it'll work. So I thought we were talking like a little bit of toilet roll that you got to, you know, yeah, no.
No,
at
not,
work,
not absolutely, something that you flush twice. You've actually blocked
not,
it.
Not a plunger. But
you actually
job,
need
something.
A plunger.
Yeah, work.
I'm going to pick at a new job.
I'm
absolutely,
also going to pick at a new
hopefully,
job. It's easy to hide, isn't it?
Hopefully you're not the only employee there.
Precisely.
Hopefully you can parcel it off and put
exactly.
it on, shunt
probably
it away.
More anonymity at a new job.
Yes.
It could be somebody else that's done it. Okay, number three. Would you rather accidentally send a dirty picture to your dad or to your boss?
Well, first of all, I don't send them. Just like to clarify that.
It's not what Milo told me.
It's got to be your boss, isn't it? That's strange. That's strange if you sent that to your dad, isn't it?
I'm just looking at the chat. Sue's just put, well, your dad wouldn't sue you for sexual harassment.
You don't want to get HR involved.
I love that. I mean,
you never know. Yeah, no, I've got to pick my boss. So there's no way I can. No, nah, there's just that is hella weird. I mean, they're both equally as strange.
Ed's got a boss, but get a promotion.
That's true.
I like the thinking.
What they see.
Yeah, fine. Fine. Go with the boss. You never know where it's going
to
go.
I've got a bit of a cop out here. I could send it to my dad because he passed, so he would never actually see it.
Okay, Ian.
Bro, what the hell just happened?
You never said the parameters.
No, actually, I'm not going to take the get out of jail.
I can't say it's
my
dad's deaf, dumb, and blind, so he wouldn't
I think I'd rather... Well, I don't know, because you see your boss probably most days, whereas you, unless you live with your parents, you're probably not going to see... Oh, I don't know.
I could pull the thing if I am my own boss, so...
I'd probably send it...
Coops,
no, I'd probably send
you?
It to my dad. I'd probably send it to my dad. I don't think my boss would take it too well. Okay, round four. Would you rather live in a world... I think I know Coops' answer, actually, to be fair. Would you rather live in a world where you dance instead of walk or sing instead of talk?
Oh, that is a tough one. That is a great question. Love this. Life should be a musical theatre show.
I can't think of anything worse.
I think it'll be really funny. I think it'll be really, really, really funny singing to people instead of speaking. I'm going to pick the singing one. I would say dancing, but that's quite obvious for me. No, I'm going to pick singing instead of talking. That'll be funny as hell.
Simple things like ordering a coffee would suddenly become like super theatrical and hilarious.
Imagine it would podcast. Sound like a stage show, wouldn't it?
Musical podcast. I'm going to pick everyone dances instead of walks because there's a video of like, what if everyone was vibing to drum and bass even when they're going to work and it's just hysterical. Everyone like doing rave dance moves on their way through the office, like scanning their passes and stuff. So it would be funny.
And I would rather dance instead of walk, to be fair. Okay. Would you rather know how you're going to die or when you're going to die?
Ooh.
And bear in mind, these are fixed things, so you can't say, oh, well, I know I'm going to die, so I wouldn't do that. It's either how or when. You can't do anything to affect either.
I think when, for me, if I have an idea of the time expanse, then I know the deadline. But to do what I want to do in my life. I don't want to know, like, at some point in the near future, you might get run over by a bus or, I don't know, put into a mincing machine or something. Like, you
Bro,
could have a genuinely horrendous end.
How did you go from that
end.
To that? How...
Are you going to work in a mincing factory?
or killed by a Magikarp in Seattle's fish market, yes. In my case.
And you stayed quite away from that fish market.
Yes, I didn't want to be slapped by whatever it was, a salmon or something. But,
when Pokemon Go ends, though, mate, that might be quite a good option for you, working in a mince factory.
no deadline for me. When?
If I knew how I was going to die, I'd just be anxious every day waking up. Whereas when you've got, you know, everyone knows you're going to die, right? We all know at some point we're going to die. You know, none of us live forever. So it's kind of like that having that time scale so you can enjoy life as best as you can, but not know. Yeah, same as Milo.
Waterfall.
I think I'd rather know how, because let's face it, I'm in the second half of my life anyway, so it's all downhill from here. So I think I'd rather know how. God, hopefully it's something quite good and interesting rather than just sitting on the toilet. But yeah, I think I'd rather know how.
Yeah, don't do an Elvis Presley.
No, or a Jimi Hendrix. So the last would you rather for this round. Would you rather be stuck on an island for eternity all on your own, or would you rather be with somebody that you hate?
By myself every day of the week.
That's quite easy. Definitely by myself.
Yeah. Easy.
That's three for me.
Sorry.
Because when you say hate, you mean someone that you despise.
Somebody
like
that you
me.
Despise, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit like me and you, Ian, being, no, absolutely not by myself.
Yeah. I like my own space.
I can handle my own company. It'd be great.
Anyway, moving on. It's time we had a chat. Something happened at the weekend. Something that I'm pretty sure that at least two-thirds of us probably partook in. Maybe all three of us.
Nice.
I don't know. Shadow Mewtwo was in raids for the first time, tier 5 raids, so let's have a chat.
It's a shame that Mark isn't here, given what he was actually doing, so we know kind of it was actually a 50-50 on this, really, but I guess let's just ask the obvious question. Did you manage to get out and actually do any of the Shadow Mewtwo raids at all? Coops.
No.
Oh, I thought he was going to use the other sound effect, Milo.
That one.
He wasn't to laugh.
What did I say to you last week? I'm working the whole weekend, nothing to do with the missus. But even if I was with her, yes.
He was working, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, listen, I'm not going to repeat myself. I said the same thing last week. Absolutely gutted. Didn't even turn the game on, I don't think, from Thursday to today, really.
Which is fair enough, because a lot of people, I think, would have been in the same boat if they had other plans or were actually working that weekend. It's just something that, unfortunately, they couldn't access.
Yeah, so. I mean, and the raids were from 10 o'clock on the Saturday for the full 2 days. So depending on your work patterns, you might have been able to get one in early doors.
But you've still got to go there and have 8-9 people to defeat it, don't you? So
and
yeah.
These raids were just spawning regularly, so they weren't overtaking every gym. So there was just in the actual regular raid pool.
Yes. Well, Ian, did you?
I might have gone out to do a couple. How about you, Whitfield?
Very much hit as many raids as I could feasibly do on foot, or in case of Sunday, jumping in a car.
That was, for me, I couldn't do that many on foot because they were that spread out. Needed to pollute the planet.
It's burnt some
fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels, yes.
Were the raids popping pretty well for you? Because from where I was, they were very intermittent and very spread out.
I've got no idea, mate. I've got absolutely no idea. I don't know.
Milo?
To be fair, he did just say he didn't turn the game on. Jeez. It was very much a tale of two halves, which I think a lot of people will
Milo,
concur
shall we
with.
Just take this on one side? We just have a chat.
Well, let's have a look at your show notes, shall we?
Or Coops, do you want to question us about them?
I mean, I can interview you both, but genuinely.
Interviewers, Coops. Let's get you involved. Interviewers.
Let's not lock him out of the conversation. Yeah. Ask us some questions,
dude.
I'm
trying to think what sort of stuff I can sort of ask you. Okay, you've said that the raids were popping actually quite decently for both of you. And as we know, we can't actually use remote passes to get into these raids. So what was it like locally in person? What was it kind of like?
It was interesting to see. Local chat started to come in alive again. We'd actually started putting in some initial planning in the week in advance, sort of saying like, this is what we're planning on doing. Let us know if we're available. We have no idea where we're going to start though. And we saw the Saturday, the raids were starting to appear reasonably frequently. We've got quite good, dense amount of gyms in West London here. But even still, it was, you have to walk a pretty far distance between the Mewtwo raids. Some people tagged in for a couple when they could, but there was a bit of a core group who went around most of the day. I think we did something like 35, maybe 40 raids on the first day on Saturday. What about you, Ian?
The Saturday, I didn't really see the numbers, mainly because the group I was with was kind of just doing its own thing. So there wasn't that many raids. I mean, there was two cars full of four people, so there was literally eight of us doing all of them. So we didn't really need to advertise in the WhatsApp groups or get extra players, which I kind of felt bad for because I knew that there'd be people wanting to do these. On the Sunday, we was actually putting it in the WhatsApp group and people were turning up to raids. And it was nice to see lobbies of 20 people hanging out together, chatting together, having fun. Kind of brought me back to a time when this was a norm and it felt comfortable and it felt familiar. So I was actually happy to see so many people out raiding and actually having a good time.
It's an interesting one because I saw a handful maybe of new players who I'd not met before who joined the local chat over the course of the last couple of years. But the majority of people were the regular sort of hardcore raiders who are part of the squad who've been going around since 2017, really. There wasn't an overwhelming enthusiasm to jump out, go and hit all of these raids. It was sort of the hardcore niche, as it were. Quite a lot of people jumped in for like 3 to 5 and then dipped and may have come back at a different time. The one thing that I did find was irritating and failed to mention that Sunday, regular raids were spawning as well.
But they were on the Saturday as well for me in my area.
Were they? We didn't have any
regular raids. Yeah, there was Regigigas on the Saturday as well as the sort of tier ones and threes. It wasn't
that
really just
shouldn't
Mewtwo.
Have been happening. Are you sure it wasn't just the early morning?
No. It wasn't just Mewtwo for the whole day.
Okay, it was meant to be like just the shadow
controversial.
Raids. Well, it's interesting to talk about it because it should have just been shadow raids on the Saturday. And then when I saw it on Sunday morning going, oh God, Regigigas and Bagon and Skarmory are in raids spawning as well.
As I say, for us, the raids were very spread out.
It got worse on the Sunday, definitely, because we ended up sort of going, Sunday, far less interest.
See, I saw the opposite. Sunday seemed more of a busy day. But maybe that's because Saturday was kind of in this little closed bubble of a small sort of two-car group.
Interesting, because we almost exactly the reverse. So we sort of gathered together and went, the raids are so far apart, we jumped in two cars and started going around for bits of the sesh in the morning. And then if we found a little cluster, then we parked up and went around. We would put in the local chat. We had a live location going, message on Campfire as well, flaring up and saying like, hey, we're doing this raid at this time. One person
Campfire
may have joined
actually
an extra.
Was a godsend for this.
Useful
tool. I was using it all weekend.
Launch it to everyone.
No, seriously, it needs to be launched to everyone because we're in the privileged position. We actually have Campfire now. We don't endorse this, but let's be realistic. There are people in my area and a lot of people worldwide, they use maps. Let's be honest. I don't, but people use maps. I use Campfire. But I found it was so much easier to actually look for raids on Campfire just by scrolling around the local map than people actually logging into these map apps that they're using. So
it was very good for targeting specific gyms. That's what I'd say. Specific gyms and saying, like, there's an X amount of people coming. We'll be here roughly at this time. Let us know, blah, blah, blah. And that worked very well. But the Sunday was definitely a car raidy day, which for me personally, I'm not overly a fan of. I'd rather be on foot.
I would, but sometimes needs must.
It's a necessity.
So how many raids, and when I say raids, I mean Mewtwo raids, how many shiny shadow, sorry, they're not shiny all the time. How many shadow Mewtwo raids?
We wish.
Yeah, I know we wish, right? How many shadow Mewtwo raids did you guys get done?
So in total, I did 61 over Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Actually not that many. Okay, yeah. I mean, in person it is, but, you know, yeah.
It's
in
more person, than me. Yeah. I managed over the 2 days 36, but on the Saturday I did can at 5 o'clock and didn't raid into the evening. On the Sunday I did raid from 11, which was a little bit late, to be fair, and until sort of 7:30.
Yeah, so both days I went right up until the curfew.
We know. You didn't need to clarify that, Milo. We know.
I know. But Sunday we had some that despawned like at, you know, 9:30 or something. They spawned in just on the cusp.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, a little late wave, go for it, drive, there you go.
And how many shinies with yours, Milo? What was the sort of rates?
So I got 2 shinies, which I would say is the highest scale of things out of 61 raids.
Sounds about right. 1 in 30, wouldn't it? Sounds about one, right, yeah. Ian?
Side effect, Milo.
Oh, you didn't get one.
Not a single one.
Didn't get one out of 35.
And everybody I was with got them. Everybody I was with got either one or two out of probably a slightly fewer number of raids, to be fair, because I was going after everybody else went home. I also hasten to add, I only got one 91% Shadow Mewtwo. All the rest were garbage.
Oh, ouch.
Hold on, I was waiting to ask that. You're jumping the gun here, mate.
Sorry.
Ask the question and I'll answer, Coops. Okay.
No. For real, though, I'm only joking. But, like, in regards to these in-person shadow raids, like, I don't want to say how difficult were they, but, like, how were the purified gems thing? Like, were there any issues? Were there any glitches? Like, were they actually difficult? Jokes aside, could you have done four trainers without, like
you could have
like,
done
talk
four
to
trainers
me about
easy.
The,
easy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
easy.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Let's rephrase that. People with a train level like we are, it could have been done easily with four people. If you were sort of level 33, you know, your sort of average Pokemon Go player, you wouldn't
you'd have struggled
with four people.
But the key thing that we found out very quickly with the Purified Gems, once that Rocket Raid stuff had come in, to make the Purified Gems actually work, you have to use eight of them flat out. If you use less than that, it doesn't work at all. If you use eight, it subdues the raid boss, which is fine.
Right.
But you as a trainer can only put down five. So you have to have a minimum of two people. And I think I did see somewhere that Mewtwo Shadow was a possible duo. I might have seen that somewhere. If you had the right counters, Shadow level 50, high level trainer, etc., and the Purified Gems.
I don't think I'd have liked to have tried to duo it, though, to be fair.
No,
it
was wasting painful. Time, frankly.
It was painful in terms of...
wasting time. The more raids, the
and
better.
And also, this isn't a glitch, and Milo will probably back me up on this. It's almost like Niantic nerfed revive drops as well from rewards and gyms. They were just not coming through for the whole weekend.
I have no idea. Didn't notice. All I noticed was the amount of hyper potions. I was very perplexed. It's like, I haven't been spinning stops at all day. Why is my item bag full? And I go and look and I have over 1,000 hyper potions.
What?
In my bag. I started the day on 100. I'm like, huh? What am I getting? Unless 18 every raid. But this is one thing that actually ticked me off a little bit once I looked at it on Sunday evening and also Monday. Rare XL candy didn't drop from these 5-star shadow raids at all.
No, Mewtwo XL did, but not Rare. Yeah,
yeah. The Mewtwo guaranteed the three from doing the in-person raid, but Rare XL candy didn't drop, even though there were 5-star raids, and I think that was a coding issue.
Mm. What at all?
I didn't see any all. Rare. But there were, actually, it's funny you asked that, Coops. It's almost like we prepped these questions beforehand. There were glitches and issues.
Some were visually amazing.
Raids. I don't know if Milo experienced it. People were getting booted left, right, and centre. People... The raids were locking up, then you couldn't re-lobby. There were quite a few issues.
I didn't notice any of those issues, thankfully, here at all.
We had them on a couple of gyms where time would count down, you was doing no damage, and it would say that the raid had finished. You'd then try and re-lobby, and it wouldn't let you back into the gym. It would just jam your phone up.
That's weird.
2019 issue.
Thankfully. Thankfully, none of that here at all for anybody. The only glitch I encounter, which is a visually hysterical bug, is if you used Giratina with Shadow Force, Giratina O Coops with Shadow Force, or I think Ursaluna with high horsepower, one of the lunging moves that makes the Pokemon rush forward, it would glitch the Mewtwo, so it would become like supersized, sit on top of Pokemon and blend through. And I've got a brilliant screenshot of one of my Mewtwo raids where it went into landscape mode temporarily, and there's like four Pokemon all jammed and glitched
I was literally
underneath
the Mewtwo at some parts of
it. Yeah, it sort of twists 360, so sometimes you're attacking Mewtwo from behind, from the side. It was hysterical.
There's one thing that I want to know, boys, if it's all right with both of you. It's one of the reasons why I raid, one of the reasons why I used to play the game. Giratina O. No, it's for, you knew that was coming. No, it's for 100% IVs. Obviously now, Shadows, as we know, technically, if you've got a 13, 13, 13 and above, you could technically purify it, right? But with Mewtwo, Shadow Mewtwo is probably one of the most powerful Pokemon in Pokemon Go.
It is the
Sorry, Trainer Club. But with that, you did 60-odd raids. EU did 30-odd. What were your IVs like? And I feel weird asking this because I may have watched a video or two.
The listeners might not have.
But yes, yeah.
So out of the 61 raids, I got what I would class as three decent IV shadows. 296s with 15 attack and 193 with 15 attack. The two shinies I got were trash, but they're just kind of like a random flex. I already had two Mewtwo Hundos when we were remote raiding like crazy last year. So unless I got a purifiable Shundo, that would have potentially been the only thing I thought, like, maybe we'll purify.
So all jokes aside, if you purified all three of these, you'd have 500% Mewtwos.
Yes.
And you probably could have maxed them all to level 50.
I've already maxed the three of them.
Oh, okay. Of course, why did I
made
ask?
You ask.
Why
come
did
on,
I
you
ask?
Know me. I've got a tier 3 Mega Gardevoir running all day, and I had 1500 XL to start with anyway, so it's just like, poof, level 50.
You had 1500 XL to start with?
Yeah, that shows how many Mewtwo raids I was doing last year.
Ian.
Because you see Koops's face right
now. Like I said earlier, they were all garbage. I got 191%. I did get two really bad ones with 15 attacks, so at least they'll be good for sort of raids and stuff, but... On the whole, it was a fun weekend, and I'm not taking away from it. Yes, I ended up with a pile of steaming doo-doo, but it was a fun weekend, and that's what I'm taking away from it. I didn't come out with a shiny, I didn't come out with a hundo, but I actually did come out with actually having had a good time.
Do you mind if I ask you a question,
Go for
Ian?
It.
Sorry, Koops. Did you get any of anything close to the 666 stats?
I got lots of zero star ones, so... I didn't get a 666, but I did get some really bad ones.
I was so close. I got a 676. I was like, why? I want the trophy.
you know, speaking of the IVs, bro, I've actually deeped that, you know. In 60 raids, you got two shinies and you got three basically potential hundo. Mate, that's really good odds. I would say that's...
I had a very good weekend.
I've just deeped believe. That and I've thought, right, like, that's... Yeah, you're one of the lucky ones, bro.
Yeah.
I definitely have some purified 98 if I went through a bunch of stuff as
bro,
well. Like, I had very
bin
good
them,
luck.
Bin them. Who cares about that?
They will be bin because you can't trade shadows, folks. Don't forget, you can't
Unless
trade a shadow.
Them,
I did see some people...
Kind of just dead.
Some people were purifying the rubbish ones and then doing a random special with them.
Oh, I quite like that idea, actually. I like that.
Candy from it,
and you get purified Mewtwo in the decks.
Why would you want that though?
All right, gentlemen, last question. I don't need a drum roll for this one. Excluding allowing remote raid passes, how could the raid event have been made better? Ian, let's go to you first.
The weekend could have been made better if it was an actual true raid weekend. So if the Mewtwo, the Shadow Mewtwos were spawning on every gym. So you could actually plan out a raid train and just make it a complete day of it rather than all of the sitting around and waiting for them to spawn and waiting for the eggs to hatch, etc. That's my basic thought. But then when I saw that Articuno is coming out in weekends next month, which we're going to be talking about shortly, it kind of...
That makes a bit more sense, yeah. I have to agree, though, because the spawn rate was a bit iffy. It wasn't as good as if we remember the Rayquaza raid weekend back in... March of 2021. That had pretty good consistent raid spawns for that legendary in the tier 5s. It was pretty decent. Mewtwo seemed a little bit less than that.
I suppose the other thing is, even if it wasn't a sort of raid weekend where on every gym, just get them to spawn more frequently.
Yes, 100%. What perplexed me the most is, particularly on Sunday, you'd load up Campfire and how many empty gyms.
So many.
And I'm looking at going, you know, there's one raid. Yes, if you jumped in the car, it's 10-minute drive. But you think that's a 10-minute drive. It's 30-minute walk. And then you've got to walk 40 minutes back the other way to the next one. And there's nothing in between apart from a Skarmory. The raid should have been boosted overall, generally, even if it was including the 1 and the 3-star shadow raids. But the one thing that really ticked me off, and particularly if you ended up having a big group of people, if you were slightly over the 20-person limit for the raid lobby, you couldn't set up a private code for
so
the
lobby.
You'd
have to wait for another lobby to...
So you'd have to wait a whole 2 minutes to then coordinate and split everyone and all of that. I mean, we were really struggling because he's like, oh, can we have one to two people can't make this. We're over by two people. Can a few people jump out? Some people jump out. Then the people who are waiting jump into the raid because the space is freed up. It was the same on the elite raids. It's basically the same local raid lock. Why is the private lobby not an accessible thing?
That's a fair
because
point.
If you've got 20 people, there's not even any code. Like, you don't get the three Pokemon code. So you can't say if there's a new lobby, jump out and input that code for that different lobby. Really irritating because you then just sat around waiting for extra time.
And I think
time.
This is where it comes down to sort of community leaders really kind of directing traffic. But like you say, space is available. People jump in. They don't want to wait. And then the people that have jumped out to be nice have then got to... short raid.
Yeah, it's just that thing. It would be such a nice little extra detail. Maybe their thought is, oh, it will be exclusive. But from my experience, very few people who I've talked to deliberately set up a private lobby to exclude people.
Exactly. Yeah.
The only way you do a private lobby is if you have a lobby of 20 already doing the raid, and then you have one or two people on the side, and they go, right, you guys create a private lobby and we'll join your code. We can input your code and join your lobby directly. And it helps speed up the whole process. And people like efficiency when it comes to raiding. Sue made a very good point in the chat. They wanted you to meet new people, but raiding from cars, you don't meet anyone anyway. And I have to say, that is fundamentally true, because the cars have a finite number of seats. You can say, we're going to this raid, people go to this raid. But if you turn up in cars and go, oh, we're going to this next one, we're going there, we'll be there in 10 minutes because it despawns in 12. You've got people sat around going, well, I can't make that raid on foot, and there's no space in the car. That's actually excluding people. The better spawn rate, as Ian said, would have fixed
that.
Yeah,
but I also agree and partly disagree, and I suppose it depends to your geography. We were going around in cars, but we were getting out and chatting while we was raiding. So if other people turned up, we were actually there, available. We weren't just locked cars, windows up, ignoring everybody.
Well, I guess, like, in sense of community, yes, but the logistical purpose of getting around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people were in the cars. If there were seats available, then, yeah, you would, but you're probably not going to let somebody you've never
got one passenger seat
in your car, because they could be an axe murderer.
This is very true.
So before we move on from the Mewtwo talk, Milo, hit the jingle. We've had a WhatsApp message.
Send your WhatsApps now.
Saul's been back on, regular caller. Let's have a listen to what he's got to say about Mewtwo raids.
Boys, I'm glad to hear you've all had a good Fennekin con day. And even the Fennekin himself has had a good con day and actually opened his phone, which is brilliant. But all I was calling in to say was, Mewtwo who? When and how? And 1 in 20? Really? Doubtful. Highly doubtful. Well, everyone around me. No, actually, one person around me in the Bournemouth community that you helped me find, by the way, got two in one day on the Saturday, and I did a total of 10 raids on the Saturday that we could find and go to. It was like a good few hours we were all out for, and I could only end up doing 10, finding 10. No shinies. My first two that I caught were XXL, though, and nice. Both three-star, which are weird. Two in a row XXL Mewtwo's, weird. But the second day, found another person down Poole Park instead of Bournemouth. It was nice to find that someone actually shares the same passion with you, and you're out and about, and he came up to us and was just like, do you play and go? And I was like, oh my God, yeah, please come along with us, this sort of thing. Because he had two phones, I had two phones, and my mate that was with me had one. So five people all together walking around bashing Mewtwo out, which is good. But he found us that day and got a shiny that day, and I still haven't got the shiny. Yeah, mate. The fact that it's Shadow as well can't be traded to you is fantastic. The fact that it's Shadow and you can't trade it to home is even better. What are your thoughts on this, guys? Because 1 in 20, definitely not in my mind. And didn't pop up enough at all. Not enough spawns for the Mewtwo at all. I saw normal spawns of Vulpix that day and Altaria, more than Mewtwo on the Sunday.
Mega Altaria.
The Saturday were popping loads, but Sunday I didn't find a lot. But overall, did about 23 raids, no shiny. That's why I keep saying 1 in 20, not at all. But it'd be good to hear how it all went for you and to see if Coops actually did end up opening his phone for Mewtwo.
No, he didn't.
We sort of answered.
Yeah, I think we've covered most of that off.
I think we did. We appreciate hearing your tales.
In terms of the RNG, we talked about that before. Yeah, it might have been 1 in 25, but that's for every encounter. And
It's tough. Yeah, there were people in my squad who did the same amount of raids as me, north of 60, 65 raids, no shiny at all, unfortunately.
And it's demoralising, but it will be back. We've said this before. It'll be back at some point.
I can't actually believe I'm saying this, but anyway, enough of Mewtwo. It's time for a game. Play your digs right. Welcome in, boys. Welcome in to Play Your Digs Right. Now,
I love it when you host this game.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thank you. You know,
do you see why he gave him this game now, for the accent?
It's his jingle, to be fair.
Should I try and do it? No, I can't do it the whole time in the accent. No, I can't. Don't but yeah, do welcome him. Like no, I won't. They already have enough issues as it is. This game is fairly simple. And to all the listeners, welcome in to Play Your Digs right now. This one's fairly simple. I'm going to go to the Pokedex. I'm going to give the boys a Pokemon one by one. And then I'm going to give them another one. And I'm going to say, is that one higher or lower than this one? It's fairly simple. Now, when I say the word higher, it basically means higher up on the actual Pokedex number, not the screen on Pokemon Go. Because that would be the opposite.
And easy.
Thank you for clarifying.
See, we've got no Marky Boy. It's between Ian and Milo. So, Ian, we'll start with you first, then we'll go to Pogo, Milo, you can. Now, boys, I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to keep it all for the Kalos region. I want to see how good your Kalos knowledge is.
Generation 6.
So, Ian, we may or may not speak about him later in the show, but I want to know, is Phantump, which is the pre-evolution of Trevenant, higher or lower than Pumpkaboo?
Ooh. Pumpkabunda.
What was it?
Pumpkabunda.
I think it's... And my Kalos is bad. I think it's higher.
I think this game's going to be incredibly short. Ian, it is actually lower. Now, Milo, I know that you love your dinosaurs, so I want Absolutely. To ask you, is Tyrant higher or lower than Amora?
Oh,
I'm going to die if he gets this right. Shortest game ever.
Don't hold your breath on that one. No idea of that part of the decks. I'm going to go with Tyrant is lower than Amora.
Gentlemen, I was correct. This is the shortest game ever because, Milo, you are correct. Well done.
GG, Milo.
Way.
And it's probably a good thing that that was the shortest game ever.
Nice.
Because, Nick, what's it time for?
That's so weird how you were about to say and I pushed the noise on Nick. Preempted you saying that.
It is. It's the news.
So it is news time. There is a lot to go through tonight, boys.
We have a title for the episode. Yes,
we do. We do. The season of hidden gems is upon us. And we've also got June's news. So everything today, I think on first glance, this could potentially, well, I mean, anything's going to be better than the season of Rising Heroes, but I actually think we might have a banger with this season. So let's get into it. And let's just dive into the detail of June to start with, shall we?
Hey, June.
The raids for June are, well, potentially quite interesting. So we have the return of the Lake Trio from June the 1st through to June the 15th. So Uxie will be in the Asia Pacific region. Nesprit will be Europe, the Middle East, Africa and India. And the Americas and Greenland will get Azelf. They are all shiny potential. So that's possibly a way to use your five a day. But this is quite spicy. From June the 15th to the 29th, so 2 weeks practically.
This is hype.
The first shiny Ultra Beast in Pokemon Go. Nihiligo the Jellyfish is getting it shiny, which is fantastic. That's a top tier poison and rock type. Very much worth going for. And then for the final little bit that leads into July, we'll have Heatran back for the first time in a fair while, actually. So June the 29th through to July the 6th.
Yes, sir.
You're actually excited. To be fair, I need XLs. I need XLs.
I want the hundo. I mean, I can do five a day, but I've got, 30 raids I can do, 25.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to fill in for Marky on this one. The mega raids for June are looking like this. Mega Swampert, finally back after the Hoenn Mega Starters raid day back at the end of last year.
Mega Swampy.
Obviously can be shiny. June the 1st through to June the 15th. And then definitely my Mega Bay, Mega Sceptile, is in from the 15th to the 29th. So two Hoenn starter Megas. And then there is a ... filling in for the end of the month, June the 29th to the 6th of July.
And we were debating about what this might be, weren't we, before we started recording tonight?
Well, one of you is going to talk about a specific event that ends this month, and there's also been a Mega in the code for a very long time. I'm thinking it could be Mega Sableye.
And
yeah,
and there also was a leak, wasn't there, by Niantic, by accident?
There was a leak, indeed, yes. But I know there's one person who'll be very, very happy.
Noise.
Finally, the raid hours for June. we will have two for the Lake Trio, each in their specific regions. So Uxie, Mesprit and Azelf, June the 7th and June the 14th. If you're looking for specific shinies, International Friends are going to be the way to go. And then Dialga with its brand new shiny will have two as well, June the 21st and June the 28th. Good luck, peeps.
And now Mewtwo's gone. We do actually have this feature sort of lingering around, so it might sort of be a new feature in Pokemon Go. How exciting. It's going to go through every single legendary. Can't wait
for Registeel.
Added on another 2 years of the game. But Shadow Raids will be back. So from starting June the 10th, Shadow Articuno, the Mystic Bird, will now be appearing in Shadow Raids during the weekends in June. So I think if I've got this right, boys, from June the 10th, you should be getting 3 weekends, I think.
Yes.
In June. So yeah, so you get sort of 6 days of Shadow Articuno. So good luck with your IVs for that as well. And I'm 99% sure the boys, this is no remotes. Have I got that right?
It'll probably be no remotes, just like me.
It's going to be a tier 5 Shadow, so there won't be any remotes on
it.
So moving into June's events, you will have just done the Searching for Gold Research Day, won't we, Milo?
Oh, yes. That would have just happened, well, Saturday, June the 3rd. Hope you all had fun. We'll be reporting on that next week.
Yeah, hope you got some coins.
Just a top line. I think it was a really interesting event from the outset, you know, focusing on themed colour, gold shinies.
Something a bit different, and it's kind of nice to actually have the gold Pokestops back without having to lure them, but obviously if you had gold and lured them, then you'd get the Gimmighoul potential.
Very, very rare spawn. But gold shinies, research and wild spawns, etc. Very cool.
But starting next week, June the 6th, we have the Beach Week Water Festival.
Nice.
Now, this event will run until the 12th of June, so pretty much a week. And we have the debut of a new Pokemon, which is Sandygast, the Sandcastle.
Yeah, Sandcastle Ghost.
It kind of fits the theme.
It definitely fits the theme.
Now, what's this event going to be about? So as part of this event, there's going to be a global challenge. We're looking for 300 million nice throws to unlock the bonuses. If we do obtain that bonus, we're going to get the increased candy for nice, great and excellent throws, an increased chance of candy XL for trainers level 31 and above.
Nice.
For nice, great and excellent throws.
So I think the good bonuses and the global challenge is never a bad thing, to be honest. We'll hit that easy. I definitely want XL candy for the wild spawns.
Yeah. Now, I'm actually going to let Milo steal my thunder a little bit here. We've got a new shiny released for this event.
Oh,
it's a gorgeous shiny, but I'm going to pass the honor over to you to announce this one. It's gorgeous.
Mate, it's a good
shiny. I want
this shiny. It's
It's a
true cooked lobster.
It is. It's you in Spain.
It was me in Spain. It was me recently after all my trips in Europe. Shiny Clauncher is brand new for this event, and it goes from being a blue kind of lobster shrimp to being a orange one. It's a sick swap over.
Now, in true Incense Podcast fashion, we're going to share the wild encounters. So, Pokemon that are going to be spawning in this event are Tentacool,
Shelder,
Krabby,
Alolan Exeggutor,
Horsey,
Staryu,
Marill,
Wingull,
Whelmer,
Sveal,
Finneon,
Dwebble,
Frillish, the pink one.
Female.
I'd say pink.
And Clauncher. And now I know we normally say, and those ones that can be shiny, funnily enough, every single one of those Mons can be shiny. And some trainers might even encounter the following, which is going to be Mantine, which can be shiny, and then Popplio, which I think you're really unlucky, actually, if you manage to get that.
Barry, considering it's the only spawn that can't be shiny out of that entire pool.
But talking about the spawns, though, there's actually, they're not too bad. I'm still looking for the Finneon. The Clauncher would be amazing. I could do with another Frillish. And Staryu, I still need a second Staryu and second Krabby. There's a lot there that I can actually look for.
Very good theme. Everything's beach focused. There are two boosted dust mons in there. Shelder, 1,000 dust per catch, and Staryu, 750 dust per catch. Finneon's still quite a new shiny. Only got released for one of the Safari Zones in APAC last year.
It did last year, yeah. Yep.
Can't remember if that was South Korea or
Taiwan or South Korea. It was one of
one of those two, I think, yeah. But honestly, I think it's a decent pool of shinies. Also worth noting, Alolan Exeggutor is a perma-boosted shiny.
Yeah, and talking about the field research task encounters, now, one that was out last May,
Sevilla,
which a lot of people love for our Sevilla Safari Zone, the Lapras wearing the scarf will be back.
Yeah.
Sick mon, sick shiny, and people will go crazy over that last year.
It just proves what you say all the time, things come back in Pokemon Go. Patience really is worth it.
We've also got the pink Frillish, Binacle, again, still need that shiny. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Clauncher and Sandygast. So all of those, with the exception of Sandygast, can be shiny. Complete certain field research tasks to earn Mega Energy. And I don't know why you'd want to, but Blastoise.
Yay.
And Swampert.
Fantastic. Well, free Mega Energy.
So, gents, the event bonuses for this is going to be one, but it's going to be four times the rainy lure duration, which is actually quite good because it's a water event, so it kind of makes sense, right?
So what's that, like 2 hours?
That's 2 hour lures.
Yeah.
Involve your Goomies.
What would an event be in Pokemon Go without a timed research? Now, there will be timed research for this event. However, it ain't going to be free. $5 will get you the ticket for the timed research for this event, and completing the research task will earn you, and actually I quite like this, I wouldn't mind this to be honest, it will earn you the surfer pose, which does look pretty cool.
Looks funny as hell.
I agree to that as well. And Masterful 27, if it's okay, we do have some raids, and of course I'm going to take your thing tonight, mate, and I'm going to do the one-star raids. Now, ones that can't be shiny are going to be Hisuian Quillfish and Sandygast. But then ones that can be shiny, which, I really hope no one raids, is going to be Alolan Diglett, Carvana, I was going to say Spaghetti Carbonara, and Feebas well. But please.
It's a fish, I know, but Feebas in it?
Please don't use any of those.
Please don't raid Feebas. The three-star raids, Blastoise, Gyarados, the Lapras wearing the scarf, and Alomomola will be in the three stars. Again, there's probably some stuff there that people might want or need. Alomomola and Lapras, I would probably say, are what people will more so want. But there's probably people out there that haven't got the shiny Blastoise or Gyarados.
Wait for it to come back with its Mega in the Mega Raids. That's all I'll say.
That's a fair point.
As we mentioned earlier, it will be the Lake Guardian trio. So Uxie, Mesprit and Azelf in their respective regions for the five stars during this event's timeline. And Mega Swampert will be the Mega Raid boss. Now, Coops, this... You've got to finish this article off, dude.
No, I don't actually, because I've seen someone on social media that I actually think who normally trolls people for being trolls on Twitter. What do you call it? The seething.
I didn't troll anyone. I corrected an error.
Over to you, because this isn't about me. This is about you.
As part of this event, there will be new avatar items. Now, I'm actually going to read verbatim from Niantic's release from this. The following new avatar items will be available to purchase in the in-game shop during this event and will continue to be available after the event ends. Sandygast hat. Okay, yep. Diver outfit. Okay, well... outfit, maybe wetsuit, and diver goggles, which is a blasphemy to anyone that scuba dives. So
Ian tagged Paddy on Twitter.
I tagged Paddy. This is how seriously I took it.
He did.
I tagged Paddy. I mean,
you need to wipe the froth
about this
away from
the
your
other
mouth,
week.
Mate.
Seriously, we talked about this the other week. Obviously, nobody at Niantic, the intern that wrote this article, doesn't listen to our podcast.
Funny, though, by the way, that we actually spoke about this. That's so funny.
That is spooky, really, actually. That is hella spooky.
And actually, a little behind the scenes, I sent Milo, Mark, and Coops a little video from Paddy explaining gear terminology at the weekend.
They're not
diver goggles. Goggles do not cover your nose. It is a diver mask. So please, Niantic, can you change that article? Because it really is triggering me. And I don't want to be triggered.
And to end off the sort of June, and actually I'm going to talk about this event that's going to be starting on Tuesday, because Spotlight Hours for this month, something I swear we've said this on the podcast, boys. I swear we said they should do Spotlight Hour themes. You know,
we have.
On June the 6th, for 3x XP for catching Pokemon, you are going to get Krabby, Kabuto, Corphish, Clauncher, and Crabrawler as well. That's going to be Spotlight Hour for June the 6th. It's going to sort of be 5 Pokemon for the first ever time, which is actually amazing.
I think that's
sick. Is amazing, yeah.
We said that back in 2021.
We did. We said the same about Community Days as well, actually having a theme for a Community Day.
Yeah. They should employ us, boys. But on June the 13th, we do have Binacle for 2x Candy for catching Pokemon. June the 20th is going to be Sunkern. Oh my God, I remember when I did a Sunkern spot out for 2x Candy for transferring Pokemon. And lastly, June the 27th, 2x XP for evolving Pokemon is going to be Doduo. Now, boys, I don't know about you. That is a lot of June news.
It is, but the June news isn't finished. We've got some more events because we didn't get through them all. June's Community Day, Saturday, June the 10th. It's a 2-5. Get ready for this. It's only Axew.
It is Axew.
Yes. It's Axew. Coops.
Coops.
It's Axew, man.
He's left his chair.
Coops. Where have you gone, man?
He must have gone to the lavatory, surely. He's dissecting this article, which we're going to do for you right now. It's a shame he can't interject in any way.
Indeed. If you weren't lucky enough to get your three shiny Axus last year at GoFest when they were in the one-star raids, now's your chance to fill your boots. Axu is the featured Pokemon for this month's Community Day, and this one is going to be big. I dare say the biggest Com Day of the year.
The June Com Day is usually the pseudo sort of legendary. It follows the format of Gible Dino. Now Axu, very likely the next year will be Goomy. Just bear that in mind as well.
Yeah, if Goomy is in raids at GoFest, do not spend a fortune on raiding it.
Hold your horses on that, but Axu definitely... Yes. A sought after rare shiny. It won't be rare after this day, for damn sure.
No, it'll be one of those that you'll probably, like with Gible, you probably look at it and you really won't want to tap on it after this Com Day. But for 3 hours, potentially up to 8 hours, it is going to be everywhere.
I think let's jump into the good stuff of this article. So you've already gone through. It's a 2-5. June the 10th, we know that. It's Axew. It's not a new shiny, but it is a sought-after shiny.
Absolutely.
The key thing is, though, is that Haxorus will learn the move Breaking Swipe, which we saw introduced, I believe, last year. I think Rayquaza got it from memory. It's not overly amazing, but hey, it might improve Haxorus. We have no idea if it's going to make Haxorus any better, but it is a charged attack.
Indeed. And the event bonus for this one, it's not Stardust. We've recently Shame. Had a Com Day with Stardust. But we're going to get the triple catch XP. So anyone wanting to grind XP and potentially move towards level 50, this is the one. Drop a lucky egg. Triple XP. That is a lot of XP for an excellent throw. And this one isn't a bad excellent throw.
It's not a difficult excellent throw to hit. That's for damn sure. Of course, the standard extra bonuses are like the 2x catch candy and the 2x chance for trainers level 31 and above to receive candy XL from catching Pokemon. So the standard candy boosts.
Yes, and this is also quite big. Certainly, I'm not somebody that really trades excessively, but there will be one additional special trade for this community. That is on top of the one extra special trade that you are getting for the season of Hidden Gems, which gives you 3.
That's sick.
It's not just for the 3 hours of the community. You can do your special trades between 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. So you've got an 8-hour window to do these 3 specials.
Definitely line up those lucky trades with your communities, peeps. It's also noted that trades will cost 50% less dust than normal, which is always good.
Which we like, yes.
Of course, other bonuses that are pretty bog standard. It will be 5 snapshots for a Community Day surprise. It will be Axew probably popping up. And the lure modules and incense, excluding Daily Adventure, of course, will last for 3 hours when activated during the event window.
Indeed. And we've come to expect this now, but there will be bonus raid battles after the Community Day 3-hour window finishes. So between 5 and 10 p.m, an extra 5 hours where if you take down the epic 4-star Fraxure, you're going to get Community Day spawns for a region of about 300 meters around the Pokestop at Community Day shiny rates.
Yes, yes. Good luck. I will say, here in Ealing, those extra raids haven't worked since Chespin.
In fact, I think that was the last time I actually participated in. But we're not done yet, Milo. There will be the usual $1.79 special research ticket available, which give you a few nice bonuses and potentially some decent IV Axews. And of course, if Coots wasn't here, he'd be getting all hot and bothered about this. Stickers will be available by spinning Pokestops, opening gifts, and yes, by purchasing them in the in-game store.
Don't do that. But they are very cute stickers.
Spin stops, open gifts, don't buy them.
Absolutely. And the final thing to note is, of course, looking for trainers to join. Well, they have their Community Day map available, so you can search for your nearby community parks and see if there's people around there who play.
This has been a thing for a while, hasn't it? It's been a thing for a while.
It has, yeah.
There's some good parks on there. Not necessarily the main choices that you might go for, but certainly ideas of where to play if you are looking for somewhere to play that's maybe a little different. Now, don't know about you, Whitfield, but I am actually very, very excited about this Community Day. This is going to be the Community Day of the year, in my opinion.
They usually are. June never disappoints. It's always the sort of most hype Com Day.
The dragon, the pseudo-legendary Community Day,
yes,
is
typically the dragon
event. And even more so this year, because isn't it your little Italian friend's birthday?
It is. The Italian tripod has Axew Com Day for his birthday. So... Yes, that's very, very cool. Actually, I'm trying to think. I'm thinking back because, of course, we had Axew. Marcel 27 got the Shundu Axew on the Global GoFest finale of last year. So Axew was in that.
He did on his birthday. I'm actually in the fortunate position. I do not need the Shiny Axew because I have the family from the raids last year. Yes,
you were lucky.
I spent my life savings on obtaining them, but there are a lot of people that don't, and I think you've got a couple, haven't you?
I've got one, mate.
Oh, I thought you had two.
It was a bit of a little sod when it comes to RNG, unfortunately, on my end. It took 224 raids for me to get my Shiny Axew last year, and then it pops up through the wild spawns anyway.
And that's like 180 quid.
It's the best part of $100, essentially, through the raids and all of that.
So, lesson learned. Let's not go mad on Goomy this year.
We know the format, and we know how it's going to work. Yes, indeed. We'll probably still do a couple of raids, but it's all fun and games at the end of the day. This will definitely be a good one to grind. It's a good shiny. Haxorus is one of the most top-tier shinies. It goes black. It's a black shiny.
It's a great family.
Definitely quality. So, all I can say is wish you the very best of luck next weekend.
And as you're listening to this, it's next Saturday. Yeah. It is soon. It's next Saturday.
6 days away.
Yes.
Oh, Coops is back. Coops, you're back just in time as we've wrapped up Con Day. Let's get back into it.
June 16th through 25th, we've got the Solstice Horizons and another Team Go Rocket takeover.
Finally, you can TM frustration off your Shadow Mewtwo's.
And then to round out June, we have the Dark Flames event, which runs 29th of June through July 2nd. Again, all of these main events will run 10 a.m. local through 8 p.m. local. So June's looking pretty good, but we're not finished with the news there, because as mentioned at the top of this section, we're in the season of hidden gems, and that means there's a whole new season to talk about as well.
There's quite a lot of this still to be announced, but the hidden mysteries of hidden gems. So we've got several chests on the season's page, and Shadow Raids was one. Team Go Rocket obviously are taking over gyms. We know about that. Shadow Articuno is going to be taking over Tier 5 Shadow Raids over the course of June's weekends. They've launched their web store. It's a new way to get in-game boxes and things like that.
And you get a few bonus coins.
1,000 or something, don't you?
You only get 1,000 if you buy the £100 box.
Which is 10 Mewtwo raids. But anyway, there's a whole load of extra stuff coming soon, which will probably get announced during the course of the season.
Now, there will be new themed stickers coming out, Coops. I know you're going to like that one. Looking at it, we've got a Squirtle sticker, and there's actually a few in there. You'll get those by spinning Pokestops, opening gifts, and also by spending your hard-earned money in the in-game store.
They've highlighted the community days.
Yeah,
Ian.
We've talked about that. But, I mean, they're looking like bangers, but hopefully there's going to be something new.
All right, Home Slice, I think the coast is clear, bro. You can come in now.
Are we good? Are we okay to come in?
Yeah. Come now. It's
okay,
perfect.
Okay, all right.
Now, ladies and gents, boys and girls, we do not have Masterful 27 with us tonight for the PvP dungeon, but we do have man-like Homeslice Henry in the building.
What's up? Thank you so much for having me.
You let him loose.
Yeah.
Actually, you speak about him that much, Coops. It's like he's here every week anyway.
I know.
Facts.
I do. I'm a big fan. Fangirl. I'm a big fan. As the PvP GBL community knows, it's been a little bit dry for a while, right? I think they had a big update, then 3 months went by, then a new season. There was no update whatsoever, and this 3 months has just come to an end. So basically, bro, tell everybody, has it literally been 6 months with nothing?
Basically, yeah. Like they had a very big update after Worlds, and they had kind of a medium update in December, but in March, basically zero update. They updated a couple mons, but it was with moves that were just extremely impractical and did not alter meta play whatsoever. So it's basically been half a year since we had anything meaningful. And then today they dropped a bombshell on us of an update.
Nice.
I was going to say, you need new video ideas, bro. Well, you're going to have videos for the rest of the year with this update. Honestly. So should we jump straight in, mate?
Absolutely. Let's do it. So first of all, they have changes to attacks, and then they have like Pokemon learning new attacks. They're actually buffing Icicle Spear, which is the Wall Rain Combe move.
Nice.
Yeah, it actually was a bit too strong, so they had nerfed it previously, but they're actually making it more powerful now. And they're undoing, or at least to a certain extent, undoing a secondary nerf, and that was Poison Fang for Nidoqueen, ooh, which again was a bit too strong. They made it more expensive in terms of energy, but now they're making it stronger. So two of the more generalist Pokemon actually getting some love in the new season update, which is nice.
Do you know what's so funny, mate? I feel like for 3 months for the Rising Heroes, I've seen no Walrein and no Nidoqueen. Now they're going to be everywhere again, aren't they?
It's back, Koops. You can't run from it.
Yeah. Welcome back, Walrein.
Yeah, welcome back. And we've got Rollout, which I think is Dunsparce. That's where, yes, Dunsparce came out of the line.
Yeah,
is that correct?
And Miltank.
Yes. Sorry, Milo, you're getting involved in the dungeon. Sorry.
I'll shut up.
Milo, get out of the dungeon. You know it's Koops' play area.
So now Rollout is going from 4 power to 5 power. Home Slice, is that? Talk to me.
So that is actually quite helpful for Dunsparce. Dunsparce, pure normal type Pokemon, the coverage moves that it has are rock and ground, so it has a lot of coverage into the meta. But one of the big issues with Dunsparce was oftentimes two of its charge moves couldn't quite KO, and due to the extremely low damage of Rollout, because it's a 3-turn move, it couldn't it couldn't really ever farm things down. So this is a bit of an adjustment to hopefully help it be able to finish some of those matchups, because a Pokemon that can have that oftentimes a lot of teams are weak to, but didn't really have the power to take advantage of the fact that a lot of teams were weak to it. But this adjustment here, it's basically going from 4 damage every 3 turns to 5. So basically 20 to 25% more damage. So a pretty nice update for Dunsparce for sure.
We're going to save the best till last, in my opinion. And I think you're looking at the screen knowing what this is. But I want to talk about this. This one's a bit of a weird one. Seed Bomb has now gone from 55 power to 60 power. And it's got here that the energy cost is also increased. I feel like Seed Bomb is a very strong move anyway. So I'm not really sure, Home Slice, what's the reason behind this? Do we know?
Yes, and that is specifically targeting Trevenant. A lot of what made the current meta feel, or at least the current Great League meta feel very stale, was it ended up being in a bit of a rock, paper, scissors triangle. For those who don't necessarily play PvP, rock, paper, scissors, obviously rock.
Milo, Ian.
Beating the scissors, the paper, that beats the rock. So in this case, there was a very unfortunate triangle dynamic that had developed where Trevenant absolutely destroyed Lantern. Lantern is 0 play against it. Lantern absolutely obliterates Noctowl, which absolutely obliterates the Trevenant. And that proved to be where a lot of games ended up being decided more on alignment than skill. So this season, a lot of what they're trying to do with adding back the generalists of Walrein and Nidoqueen, and now with reworking Trevenant so that way Trevenant's a little less fast, is they're increasing the power of Seed Bomb, but they're increasing the cost of it. So Trevenant won't be able to pace as quickly. The goal is basically just to try and disrupt that unfortunate triangle shape of meta that resulted in a lot of games, even at regional tournaments, after the reveal of the three teams just being over when it starts. That's not necessarily as fun to watch. So the hope is they're trying to rebalance it to make it so there's a lot more neutral play and it can come down to skill play than just luck of the draw when it comes to picking your team.
Seed Bomb normally with Trev, if we're going to use Trev as an example, 5 Shadow Claws to get to the first Seed Bomb. What do you think it will be now? Or will it literally be 6?
Yes, I believe if they adjust it, it would be to like 6 to the first, 6 to the second, and 5th. And 5 to the 3rd. So it would be a definite adjustment for sure.
That even makes the Swampert matchup different as well, doesn't it? Like it actually, like, yeah, this is... And go on, mate, you talk about Mud Bomb because I know you're dying to talk about your Mud Boys. You
can... Oh, yeah. Mud Bomb is definitely going to be a fun update here. Mud Bomb, it was basically a clone of what the old Seed Bomb was, but it didn't really see a lot of play. But it's actually getting a buff from 55 power to 60 power, which does take it to a move that has, I believe, now 60-40. So it should be 1.5 damage per energy, which honestly is pretty nice for a bait move. So that's just going to allow ground type attacks a little bit of extra damage in those situations, which can be nice considering that some of the changes they made were to making poison moves and a rock move better. So having Mud Bomb being a little stronger can be quite nice, especially for like the Unova Stunfisk of the world, the Toxicroak. And I'm not going to spoil it, but there's also a new Pokemon that's getting Mud Bomb as well, Koops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll save that. I always say this about the GBO articles. They're always so huge, and we wanted to get those move updates out because that's major. And then there's new attacks coming into the game as well, which is even more exciting. But I'm going to quickly run everyone through the dates. Now, from June the 1st to June the 15th, it's going to be Great League. But up until the 8th, it's going to be the Summer Cup, the Great League edition. And then from the 8th till the 15th, it's going to be the Ultra League edition.
Noise.
From June 15th through the 22nd, we have Ultra League and Element Cup Little Edition, so 500 CP meta. And then we have Ultra League continuing the next week, 22nd to the 29th. But we actually have a new cup arriving, Coops, and that is the single type or mono type cup, Great League Edition, which is only Pokemon that have a single typing are allowed. And notable bans are Cresselia and Defense Deoxys.
And from June the 29th until July the 6th, you're going to have Master League Premier, and you're going to have the single type cup still, the Great League Edition. Obviously, it's a new one, so they're trying to give you a little bit longer on that.
And then after that, we have July 6th through July 13th. We have the Open Master League, and the Retro Cup makes a return. It's a cup we've seen previously. And then July 13th through July 20th, another week of Great League, and Great League Remix makes a return after several seasons. So that's going to be Great League, but with the top 20 most used Pokemon from this most recent season banned. So we should see a lot of variety and a lot of potential new Pokemon that we haven't necessarily had a chance to shine.
And then coming towards the end of July, from July 20th till July 27th, we've obviously got Great League, but then we've also got the Fossil Cup, the Great League edition. I'm pretty sure we've had the Fossil Cup before.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. And then from July the 27th till August the 3rd, it's going to be back to Ultra League. And again, still the Fossil Cups. You've got a few weeks for that.
August the 3rd through August the 10th, another week of Ultra League. We have the Jungle Cup, Little Edition. And then August 10th through August the 17th, which is the week of the Pokemon Go World Championships. Ooh. That will be all three leagues available, Great League, Ultra League, and Master League. And then I'm going to take this next one as well, Coops, because this is my favorite.
Is it because August the 17th is my birthday? Is that why as well?
Well, you are in for a great birthday then, Coops, because not only is it the Master League, but the Fantasy Cup Ultra League Edition returns. One of my favorite limited time metas. It was introduced last season, received almost universal praise, and Coops, it's back.
Happy birthday to me, right? Happy birthday to me.
Oh, we're in, New York that weekend as well, Coops.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you. And then to end off the season from August 24th until September the 1st, you're going to have Master League and Catch Cup, but this is going to be the Hidden Gems edition. We do have a Go Battle League weekend on Saturday, July the 1st until Sunday, July the 2nd. But again, we'll talk about that at the end of June to sort of give you guys a little bit more information the week before like we normally do.
And it looks like the next we have is the Pokemon Go World Championships event from Friday, August the 11th to Tuesday, August the 15th. All three leagues will be active, and they're saying it's going to be a battle-focused event. Last year during the Worlds, they had a lot of Pokemon that were like very powerful in the meta spawning in the wild. So for those who wanted to kind of start in Go Battle League, but you're like, man, I haven't seen this certain Pokemon in a while. That's what they did last time, is they had a lot of Pokemon like Metatite spawn for Medicham, very meta relevant, Phantom spawning for Trevenant, Galarian Stunfisk. So that can be a good event. This could be a good opportunity to get some Pokemon and yeah, you know, test it out because it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Now, Homeslice, I do want to talk about my favorite part. It's obviously the new avatar items for when you hit legend and a little bit beforehand. Now, avatar items will be awarded to trainers who reach certain ranks, as I just said, but to legend, you kind of really need to get there to get the whole package, if that's fair to say. So this style pose is going to be based around clay. So it's going to be the clay style hat and shoes, the pants, the shirt, and the clay style pose, which is the one thing that everybody wants. It's like a flex in a raid lobby, right, Home Slicer? That's the whole point of it. Yeah.
Unless you're on your tippy toes with your little...
That's your favorite. That's your favorite.
Flex, flex, you know? And not only do we have changes being made to certain attacks, we have some new moves being added to Pokemon Go. The first is Liquidation, which is a water type charge move. And it's actually going to be a clone of the existing move Crunch. So 70 power and a 30% chance to lower the opponent's defense by one stage. Crunch is a pretty good move in PvP. Definitely a charge move that I'm excited about. And the second one, they're also adding Leafage, which is a grass type fast move. And that is going to be a grass type clone of the existing fast move of Bullet Punch, which is, I would say, a pretty well-balanced fast move. Nothing too overpowered, nothing too bad, just adequate fast move. So definitely nice to see some variety when it comes to the grass type fast attacks.
Nice.
Now, Homeslice Henry, before you leave us, we've got to talk about the new attack availability updates. Now, I'm going to say all of these, and I want you to stop me and go yay or nay. I think let's play a fun little game here. Alolan Sandslash will now be able to learn the charge attack drill run.
Yay. Big yay. Okay. Previously, Sandslash had Bulldoze, which is the same amount of damage as Drill Run, but costs 15 more energy. So it's a strict upgrade. You still get to do 80 damage, but now instead of 60 energy, it's 45. This is a dramatic upgrade to Sandslash.
Now, Clefable, I can already see you're smiling. Clefable will now be able to learn the Fast Attack Fairy Wind.
That is a yay for Ultra League.
Okay. Wigglytuff will now be able to learn the Charged Attack Disarming Voice.
I would say that's more middle of the road.
Okay, I don't think we've got a sound effect for
I like it, Milo.
Golduck will now be able to learn the Charged Attack Liquidation.
Again, more middle of the road, I'd say. Okay.
Dewgong will now be able to learn the Charged Attack Drill Run.
Awesome. So good.
And it can also learn the Charged Attack Liquidation.
It's a good move, but honestly, with Icy Wind and Drill Run, I think Dewgong's probably just going to stick with Drill Run of the two new moves it's getting. But yeah, still, overall, a big plus for Dewgong.
One of each.
Cloyster will now be able to learn the Charged Attack Liquidation.
Nope.
I've got a feeling what this one's going to be. Vaporeon can also learn Liquidation.
Yeah, your Inkling was right. That's a no from me.
Is Milo going to get excited now with this next one?
Milo, you can read this one. Oh. I'll let you go.
I know exactly what it is. It's Togetic getting Fairy Wind.
That is a great upgrade. Previously, Togetic was stuck with Hidden Power, which is a terrible fast move. Now with Fairy Wind, Fairy Wind is a fairy-type clone of the move Mudshot, which you guys probably know from Swampert. One of the best fast moves in the game when it comes to energy generation. So this will help Togetic dramatically.
Nice. Quagsire will now be able to learn the Charge Attack Mud Bomb.
This is great. This is a great addition. So Quagsire previously ran the move of Earthquake. Earthquake, a very good move, but kind of slow with Mud Bomb. Quagsire now gets to dramatically increase its pacing, which is quite nice, as it'll be able to get to a lot faster charge attacks.
Tyranitar will now be able to learn the Charge Attack Brutal Swing.
Great for raids. With Brutal Swing, it's actually going to be, I believe, the new best Dark-type raid attacker, overtaking Brutal Swing Hydreigon.
It is. Nice.
Cradily with Rock Slide?
Terrific. This allows Cradily, again, similar to a lot of these updates, to increase its speed. It will now get to the Rock-type charge attacks faster, because Rock Slide is cheaper than Stone Edge, and that allows Cradily to be a true core breaker to the Lantern Knockdowl core that has been absolutely everywhere in Great League the past year and in play Pokemon tournaments.
Nice.
Armaldo with Liquidation?
Nope.
I'm guessing this is the safe float. So just give it a no. Float Saw with Liquidation, no.
Give it three nopes on this one, please.
That was four, Milo.
One extra.
Now, this one's quite interesting, Home Slice. Drift Blim will now be able to learn the Charge Attack Mystical Fire. Is that?
I would say this one has potential. Drift Blim already has Icy Wind, and Mystical Fire is a fire-type clone of Icy Wind, but it does give Drift Blim additional coverage, especially against Steel-types that previously it didn't do the best against, like Registeel or Galarian Stunfisk.
Snova and Abomasnow now able to learn the Fast Attack Leafage.
My guess would be Abomasnow is already really good with its current moveset, so my guess is this is going to be a nope.
And one for Snova.
Probopass with Zap Cannon.
I'd say it has potential, but yeah, probably just has potential.
So 50-50.
Heatran Earth Power.
Unfortunately, this is a nope.
Samurott Liquidation.
Liquidation's a great move, but Samurott already has Hydro Cannon, which is better, so I'm going to have to say nope on that one.
Whimsicott with Seed Bomb.
I would say this is good. Whimsicott gets to increase its pacing, so it is going to get to Seed Bomb a lot faster than its previous move. Gives it some extra play, which is nice.
Karakosta with Liquidation.
Has potential.
Emolga with Acrobatics.
This is great. So Emolga previously was stuck with Aerial Ace, which is one of the worst like flying type charge attacks. And now it goes from that to one of the best in Acrobatics. It's still a very glassy Pokemon, but with Acrobatics, that gives it a lot of one-shot potential.
Oh, nice. Okay, then I think this is going to be the opposite. Electros with Liquidation.
Nope.
Litwick with Mystical Fire.
Honestly, I don't play the 500 CP Little Cup, so on this one, I have no idea.
Ian, do you know? Bear Tick with Liquidation?
Nope.
This one's really interesting because I think Rowlet, Dartrix, and Decidueye, I think that's its evolution. They can all now learn Leafage. I would say that's quite good. Is that?
It definitely has potential. Definitely has potential.
Primarina with Disarming Voice.
Great addition. Primarina has a great typing, but its biggest issue was it got to charge moves very slowly, and Disarming Voice gives it a bait move, so this is all around a plus for Primarina.
Fomantis with Disarming Voice? No, give that a no, Milo. Rubbish. Lurantis with Leafage?
I'm going to say no for this one just because Lurantis already has a good fast move in Fury Cutter.
I'll be honest, I've never seen this Pokemon before in my life. Golisopod? With Liquidation, Golisopod?
This is a great update.
Really?
So, Golisopod, in a previous update, several seasons back, got Shadow Claw. And the whole thing is it has a very good typing and an incredibly good fast move, but its charge moves were terrible. This finally gives it a good charge move, and we should see a lot more play, especially in the Ultra League.
Amazing. Now, last but certainly not least, I'm going to take this one. I actually think this is a good addition. So lastly, Ursaluna with the charged attack Ice Punch. Milo, I'm going to give that a ding, if that's fair.
I would agree with you, to be honest.
Yeah, giving Ursaluna the ability to hit for double super effective against Dragonite should be very helpful in Master Premier. Ursaluna still struggles in Open Masters, but in Master Premier, this definitely gives Ursaluna a bit more flexibility that it didn't have, which is quite nice.
We made it, bro. We made it through the article. We done it.
We did it.
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I do just want to say, please check out Homeslice Henry on YouTube. He is my favorite PvP GBL content creator. Really, really appreciate you coming on. And maybe we can make this a thing. Every 3 months, you can come on for 10, 15 and tell everyone your knowledge.
That'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. PvP is why I play this game. I'm incredibly passionate about it. I really believe in it. So yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, listen, once again, I feel like the boys are going to shut the door on you in a sec. But yeah, thanks again for coming on, and we will see you soon, bro.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah, back in the dungeon, mate. See you
3 months time, mate. Get in there.
Close that door, Milo.
No, not the door, please.
I feel like I'm going to need the next 3 months, Ian, just to detox from all the GBL malarkey.
Seriously, how long was I? It felt like an hour.
I think I aged 40 years. But we're going to come back to the seasonal rotation. So the research breakthroughs are obviously switching up a little bit for this new season. There's bad news. Goomy's still there, unfortunately.
That was the first thing I noticed, but at least Parasect isn't.
Oh, Parasect's gone. The other five can be shiny. So we've got Sableye, shiny potential, Beldum, shiny potential, Ordino, shiny potential, and serious boosted dust.
But the next one is the one that we actually said a while ago we'd actually like in seasonal rotation. But it is actually here this season.
Furfru is still remaining here, which is nice. So shiny potential for that. And the final one is Noibat,
which I don't think anyone's really overly bothered about anymore. But at least I'm not going to get Pinsir every week this season.
But shall we move into where the spawns are going to switch up?
I think we should. So starting in cities, we're going to get the spawns of Alolan Meowth, Kadabra, Magneton, Koffing, Aipom, Galarian, Ziggy, Patrat, and more. Now, they can all be shiny with the exception of Kadabra and Magneton.
Alolan Meowth is actually quite nice because I think that's a boosted dust mod and a boosted
don't
shiny.
See that all too often.
In the forests, we're going to find Paras with the shiny potential. Boosted dust as well. Kanto Exeggutor. Get that out of here. Can't be shiny. Scyther, shiny potential. Cacnea, shiny potential. And then Mark's favourite, Swaddle.
That's why he always goes rural. He wants to swaddles.
He's justified, finally. Going rural. Coops and that Home Slice Biscuit dude were talking about Phantump a little while ago. That's in the forest as well.
If you're in the mountains, going for a nice hike, you might encounter Onyx, Dunsparce, Ferroseed, Stunfisk, and Helioptile. Now, they can all be shiny, but ones that you might encounter that can't be, Loudred and Baldur. There's some spice there in the mountains, actually.
Yeah. On the beaches and in the water, we will be finding Galarian Slowpoke, Shelder, boosted Dustmon, Staryu is also a big boosted Dustmon, Alolamola, Binacle, and Bruxish, sadly still can't be shiny, and the other one that's of note is Pelipper.
Yeah, nobody needs that in their life, let's face it.
There will be more apparently, but that's looking very like the beach water festival event anyway.
Maybe we should go to the seaside at some point next season.
I think so. Not immediately. Maybe we'll leave it.
We'll leave it a month or so, but maybe we should go to the seaside.
I'd like to do it in a month ending with Y.
I second that. Yes. What about you, Chris? Would you like to do it in a month ending with Y?
And me. Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you're up here in the Northern Hemisphere, the spawns that you can expect this season are Paras, Alolan Exeggutor, Dratini, Milo's favourite little lizard, Treecko.
Nice.
Torchic, and my favourite, and I think Koops' kind of favourite, Mudkip. They can all be shiny.
And the land down under and other parts of the Southern Hemisphere are going to get the following that can all be shiny, of course. Apologies that you're getting these starters. Meowth,
hey, we
Kanto.
Have to suffer them.
I know. They switch through, don't they? Kanto, Meowth, Alolan Marowak, Beldum, Turtwig, Chimchar, and then finally Piplup, plus a few more, of course.
Eggs have always need switching up, but don't expect too much. 2K eggs this season will contain, and this is not the exclusive egg pool. There is more to it than
more.
What we're about to say. Staryu, Cleffa, Igglybuff, Magby, Azurill. I still need Azurill, actually. And I stress this, more.
In the regular 5-kilometer eggs, it's kind of looking as dead as normal, really. Omanyte, Kabuto, Shuckle, Sableye, Roggenroller can all be shiny. The one on this list that can't be is still Naharini, for goodness sake.
Which is the
more.
One you'll probably hatch.
Honestly, I hatch that every other 5K at the moment. It's
me
awful.
Too.
It's awful.
If you're opening gifts and getting 7K eggs, you're going to get the Hisuian Monso, Growlithe, Voltorb, Quillfish, Sneasel, and more are going to be in your 7Ks.
That'll be the Galarians and the Alolans regularly in there, won't it? The 10-kilometer eggs, I wouldn't call them overly interesting, to be honest. You're going to get Marwile.
I'm not overly impressed with these.
I mean, last season's wasn't that good either, but you're going to get Marwile, Bagon, Emolga that still can't be shiny, Dino, and more.
Now, your Adventure Sync eggs are going to be as follows. In the 5Ks, Cranidos, Shieldon, Mantyke, Stunfisk, and more.
Good luck for the Mantyke peeps. 10-kilometer Adventure Sync eggs will have Riolu, Galarian Yamask, which is quite interesting.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Goomy is still sitting there smug as anything. Rockruff has a shiny potential and more.
Now, getting towards the end of this season, seasonal bonuses that we can expect for the next 3 months. One additional special trade per day.
Beautiful.
Taking you to a total of 2. One additional Pokemon candy when trading Pokemon.
And the best bonus of any season.
Yes, go on.
Trainers level 31 and above will receive one guaranteed candy XL when trading Pokemon. So this next 3 months is definitely one to do a trade sesh when and if you can.
Now, previously a temporary seasonal bonus, damage dealt by Pokemon participating in raids remotely will be permanently increased to the same amount of damage dealt by Pokemon participating in in-person raids. Now, essentially what they're saying here is that's not going to be nerfed. That is, the damage is...
That's staying as it
the
is.
The damage.
Which is nice of them to clarify that it's not going to disappear randomly, because that's been a seasonal bonus.
Well, Enos been taken away from us, so it's the least they could do realistically.
Ever since seasons were a thing. But that is what the season of Hidden Gems is kind of looking like, really. There's still a lot of info to go out, really, isn't there?
So, very news heavy. But do you know what isn't heavy?
Milo's,
it's Milo's poll.
God. It always gets me how awful that version of the jingle is for my poll.
It was purposely bad, my friend.
I know. Hopefully this poll didn't disappoint our listeners on Twitter. We did ask just before we started recording the show. So, folks, with Sandy Garth's debut and Shiny Clauncher arriving too, are you looking forward to Beach Week? Hashtag Pokemon Go, hashtag Milo's poll, and then in brackets, feel free not to bother retweeting.
How many retweets did you get off of telling people not to?
You'll love this. So 12 people liked it and 12 retweeted it.
That's 100%.
As if.
On this poll, we actually had 105 votes.
Wow.
That's not bad for 45 minutes.
Mark will be fuming.
Sorry, matey.
I know he'll be redundant, won't he? Milo's poll will be out every week now.
Flapping around. But anyway, let's talk about some of the comments.
Flapping poll.
God, let's not go there. Some of these comments are very, very good. So, Invader Waffle, love my ghost Pokemon. Obviously, Sandy Garst, yes, very excited. Kerry Young, Koops' answer is literally don't care. Haha, I'm joking. That might have been one of the options. The Tequila Man has put, I want a fourth option. I'm only here for the Lapras. Which I think is quite good. Finally, of course, we've got to hear from pen pal Simon, who said, I'm excited. Yippee. Alliteration in a title with an exploding emoji. Thanks, mate. I tried hard. So third place with 11% of the votes is no with a face palm. 28% in second place is literally don't care, crying laughing face. And a smashing 61% say hell yes with a beach and a flaming emoji. So I think it looks like a decent event. We said so. And I think
I'm happy with that result.
Yes.
Yeah, it does look good. It's nice to see that people are still looking forward to elements of this game.
Indeed. And thank you to the 105 people who voted and the 12 people who liked it and 12 who retweeted it.
What?
No, I just love you. It's funny.
Something that people look forward to every single week is everybody's favourite section of this show.
Shinies of the week.
All right, go on then, E. I'll jump in first. So I've got one here from Mr. Anderson, 7777, at Incense Podcast, was going to send hashtag Shinies of the week, or any spell it right, on stone tablets as suggested, but the post office didn't accept them, even though their website says they yabba dabba doodle. Excellent, excellent. My master ball is still intact, as tempting as it was to use it on this. I caught it in Tesco's car park whilst listening to you guys. And it was a shiny Bidoof.
All the supermarkets are available.
Shiny Bidoof.
So yeah, congratulations on that, and I'm glad you didn't use your master.
Yes, well done. We've actually got one from Instagram, boys. We were tagged in a post from Littlest Sparkle, listening to At Incense Podcast alone in the office working the holiday so people can get paid. Checked on the game.
Way to listen to us.
Checked on the game while my computer was loading, and oh, hatched a shiny Tortuga. Very nice. Very nice 10-kilometer egg hatch. Nice. Hashtag shinies of the week. Hashtag actually listening to the podcast.
Hey.
And I'll round out this week's shinies of the week. This one's from our campfire, our shinies of the week section, from Clifford Murt, gold tier patron. They do exist! Exclamation mark. First shiny from a grunt. Hashtag shiners a week. And it's the shiny Shadow Grimer.
It's a very cool one. Congrats, because getting them from the grunts is rare.
GG's.
Well, thank you very much for sending in your shinies. And apologies if we didn't read yours out. We actually did get quite a few this week. But if you do want to be featured on the shiners of the week section, as we said at the top of the show, don't forget to post on socials and hashtag shinies of the week. I'm not clarifying the spelling again.
You sure about that?
Moving into that's another week over. Now, if you are here and not subscribed to us, please push that plus button or the follow button, depending on what service you're listening to us on. That way, you'll get notified whenever episodes go live every Sunday. If you're on a service that can give a rating, please give us a rating. But a rating on Spotify would certainly make Coops happy.
Indeed.
And a rating on Apple and a review on Apple would make Milo and I happy.
Aye.
Now, we do want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and especially thank our patrons, because if you are a member of our Patreon, you really do help us produce this podcast to a quality that we are content with. If you're on the bronze and silver tiers, we do want to say thank you to you, but if you are on the gold tier, and some of our gold members are listening and watching us live online,
the live chaos,
we really do thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because the amount of editing that we have to put into this to make it a polished show that we're proud of, it really does take a lot of time, effort, and dedication. So it's only fair to mention our gold members by name. So, Herms Ninja, JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connolly, MLFolk 2022, Apex underscore 171, Professor 58, K Technigal, Mufti, and our latest, yes, that's right, boys, Barside 2.
Nice.
Welcome
to the team.
Yes, thank you.
You'll never know how much it means to us. So, that's it, boys.
But, boys,
no Coops next week.
Good news.
What?
Then this isn't the fact that I'm not going to be here next week. No, it's on Tuesday. It's going to be spotlight hour of the 5 water Pokemon that I mentioned earlier with the new lobster as well. So good luck with that. Tag us on Twitter, hashtag shinies of the week, if you do manage to get the new shiny on that spotlight hour.
Very much a seafood platter. I hope I don't die.
It is. And on that bombshell, we'll catch you next week. No Coops, but we should have Barrow back.
I'll see you the week after.
Burning shit, man.